Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletin. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. It is so good to see so many smiling faces out there and so good to see so many visitors with us this morning. We want you to know that you are especially welcome here at Main Street, and we hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us and that you will come back to visit us often. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we would like for you to consider Main Street, and as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you would simply give us your address and phone number, we'll have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. And speaking of what's going on in the life of Main Street, this Wednesday, Reverend Dennis will continue his series of programs on other religious sects, and this Wednesday he will be speaking on Islam. That will be at 6 o'clock, in the Trinity classroom. And the previous two have been very well attended, and I think you will certainly enjoy his presentation this Wednesday on Islam. Also, our disciple Bible study will continue again this fall. There will be an informational meeting for those of you that might be thinking about it and want to know a little bit more about it. An informational meeting will be on Thursday, August the 3rd at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. And for past graduates of Disciple Bible Study courses, there will be an annual Disciple Reunion this Thursday, July the 27th at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. It will be a covered dish dinner, so bring your covered dish and come and share with others who have attended the Disciple Bible Studies over the years. You may have noticed these signs around the church this morning. It says 828 Celebrate. That is the name of our new service, our new praise and worship service, otherwise known as a contemporary service, that will begin on August the 13th. As the name implies, it will start at 8:28 on Sunday morning. We'll last from 8:28 until about 9:15. We will begin in the Fellowship Hall with hopes of eventually moving over into the gym area, but we will begin in the Fellowship Hall August the 13th at 8:28. It will be a service of praise and worship, lots of music. You will have time to attend that service, stop by for breakfast, go to Sunday school, and then come on to this service if you would like to. So a full morning of worship to our Lord. So we invite you to plan on attending that praise and worship service, 828 Celebrate, beginning on August the 13th. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. The Lord has brought us near, a people once far off. Come, you thankful people, come. Let us rejoice and be glad. The Lord has reconciled us in one body through the cross. Come, you thankful people, come. Let us rejoice and be glad. Now we all have access to God in one Spirit. Let us rejoice and be glad. Please be seated. And join me in the prayer of invocation. You, O Lord, are the good shepherd, yet we drift like sheep without a shepherd. We pursue goals that demand too little of us, challenge too few of us, and threaten all of us. Deliver us from our aimless wanderings, O Lord, and lead us into the paths of righteousness for your sake and ours. Amen.
Before we begin our prayer time, I have just one announcement that I need to make, and that is that Catherine Wilson is closing up shop of Sly and Wilson Appliances, and she would like to donate to our church, and we'll decide Thursday night at the Council on Ministries what group our groups will get the money from the sale of these items, 17 different appliances. But the catch is next week, we need to get them out of her store, she will deliver them, and store them somewhere. Now, I don't want to store them in Sunday school rooms. I think that would make the room very crowded. I don't want to store them in the fellowship hall. I think that also would be a bad idea. If you have a business or a storage area that would be adequate for 17 appliances, I only need someone to say yes, and she will have them delivered out of her store to your storage area until we decide what to do with them and how to sell them and what area will get the proceeds. But please be thinking about that and let me know after the service. I'm sure that someone has an adequate storage area. Also, as far as our concerns, we mentioned a few weeks back that Kirk Husser's mother was very ill. Kirk Husser's mother did die this weekend, and we need to be in prayer for him and for his family and their loss. And also, we extend sympathy to the family and friends of Bill and Shirley Logan upon the death of Shirley's brother, Fred Langford, and to Mildred Gallagher and Joe upon the death of Mildred's sister, Margaret Wood, in Arkansas. We have our other concerns listed in the bulletin, which remain much the same. Please take note of those as we lift them up together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, you have provided for all of our needs and even for most of our wants and desires. We come in prayer before you seeking to thank you for the many blessings that you and your mercy have given us. We have found ourselves more often than not, like Jesus, wanting to get away from our crowded schedules and overwhelming responsibilities. How many times have we discovered that when we arrived at our deserted place, that our schedules were different but still crowded, our responsibilities different but still overwhelming? But in you, Lord, we do truly find the quiet, the rest, the restoration of our minds, bodies, and spirits, which we need and for which we search. For this we are thankful. And as we become refreshed, we discover that our situation in life is really good. We thank you for noisy but affectionate children, for demanding but caring bosses, for forgetful but loving spouses, for challenging jobs, and for the satisfaction of work well done, and for rest and for sleep at the end of each day. For these many blessings, and for your constant uplifting love, we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for healing us and our spirits, for comforting us and for strengthening us for the task you set before us, and for touching so many others with your hand of grace. Lord, we know how much you love us, and that nothing can separate us from your love, and that in every event of life you are teaching us. Help us to take the time which we need, the time to worship and rest and to keep the Sabbath. Give to those in need, we pray, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Give your hand of healing, of comfort, and strength. Help us to find ways to feed the starving in body and the starving in spirit, to home the homeless, to visit the lonely and in prison, to comfort the grieving, and to protect innocent children. Give us, O Lord, your same blessings to meet our needs, and help us not be afraid to ask and not be afraid to give to others. We come before you now with the prayers, the private prayers of our hearts, prayers for direction, prayers of assurance, prayers for comfort, prayers for those who grieve, prayers for those with difficult decisions to make. Lord, hear now our private prayers as we lift them before you in our hearts. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us these days our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We come to a moment of privilege, a moment of reminder of our own baptisms, a moment of celebration, as I ask you to turn with me to page 39 for the sacrament of baptism for Ryan James Stone. I'll ask the family to please come forward. Y'all can come all the way up here. Okay. That's good. Uh-oh. You may need that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Now I'm going to present to you Ryan James Stone for baptism. To the parents and sponsors, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Mm-hmm. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Yes. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Now, let us all join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now the Lord be with you. And also with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Now, what name is given this child?
Ryan James.
Ryan James, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There you go. Now, Ryan James, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to put your holy back right now.
Thank you.
Now, in a moment, do you want to walk him down or do you want me to walk him down? Just sort of let the congregation see him. I will. Okay. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation, and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you, Ryan James, and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. I'll give you this, and if you all will be seated, I'll give them back to you in just a second. Everybody, look at those people. Look at all these people. Look at everybody. I'll invite the children down front now for the children's message.
As they gather here, I'm going to ask Haley to come light the candle that we light in honor of Ryan James's baptism today. And it's a candle that they can take home and remember forever this special, special day. Good morning, everyone. You'll put your money in.
Thank you.
Wait. Okay. How is everyone this morning? Oh, has it been a great summer? Have you done lots of things? Looks like everybody's been taken well care of, good care of. Yeah? Well, you know what? There's a story in the Bible. In the book of John, and it talks about Jesus and his disciples meeting with a whole bunch of people. I mean a whole bunch. Many, many, many more people than are here today. If I had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, do you think we could feed this whole church?
No.
It'd take a lot more food than that to feed the church, wouldn't it? Well, guess what? Jesus and his disciples were meeting with 5,000 people. That is so, so many people. And the disciples said, Jesus, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How are we going to feed all these people? He said, don't you worry. God provides what we need. Well, of course, they said, there is no way. But they listened to Jesus. He said, pass out the food. Trust me. And they did. And do you know what? That 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed 5,000 people, and there was stuff left over. Now, how can that be? Because they trusted. They trusted that their needs would be taken care of. And do you know, if we go to God and ask Him for things that we need, then He will provide for us. Everybody here eats every day, don't we? Yeah. And everybody has clothes on, I hope. Has everybody got clothes on? Yep, He takes care of our needs. And we have a roof over our head. We don't have to sleep in the rain. So if we go to God with things that we need, if we're upset, you know, if we have a problem, He will provide what we need. So always remember, pray to God and trust that He will take care of you. Let's say a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us what we need and help us to trust you every day. We love you. Amen.
Pass the peace.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from 2 Samuel 7, 1 through the first part of verse 14. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now then tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from the following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all of your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they will have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all of your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My
Our epistle reading this morning is from Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. And through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, from Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It is an act of worship when we give sacrificially, when we give to praise God, when we give trusting that we will be able to live on what remains. Let us now continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our gifts, and our special offerings. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for the amount of resources you entrust unto us, enough for every good cause and enough for every need. Bless these tithes, these returns, these special gifts. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he did on those who were diseased. Jesus went up on the mountain and there sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a multitude was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" This he said to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not be enough to buy bread for each of them to get a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And first of all, this is a new approach on this particular text I'm preaching today, and it's a little bit risky. I hope that you will stay with me. Does anyone here know Roy G. Biv? Raise your hands if you know Roy G. Biv. Okay, we've got a couple of folks. If you've met him, I met him in high school physics. Roy G. Biv is just a way to remember the colors and the order of the visible spectrum of light. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. The colors of the rainbow, the colors through a prism, and the order that you see them. That name is just a mnemonic device where the first letters of each word or of the name remind you of the sequence of what you're trying to remember. Now, I made one of these up that sounds pretty crazy, but I made it up when I was in high school trying to remember the 13 original American colonies. It was, never make raisin cakes, never, never, please don't make very nasty salty gherkins. It works. You get all 13 colonies, and as always, Georgia is last. And as always, South Carolina is just before last. Work it out. You can get all 13 colonies. Now, I'm a little worried that I may still be saying that years from now, and I'm in a nursing home, and they'll be tempted to diagnose that I have some sort of mental problems, and I know some of you think the time has already passed. Now, hunters and hikers probably know this. Raise your hand if you know this one. Red on yellow will kill a fellow. Red on black, a friend of Jack. You know that one? A few of you. And the rest of you saying, what? It is how to tell a poisonous coral snake from a king snake, which is not poisonous. Has the same color bands, but in a different order. Now, repairing old homes in Bamberg at Salkehatchee, every single year at the safety lecture, we heard that red and yellow kill a fellow, red on black and friend of Jack. We heard that because down there they have coral snakes and king snakes. Now, would you bet your life on a mnemonic device that you remembered it correctly? Maybe not. It can be very important to get things in the right order. By now, you probably have figured out that the title of my sermon is another mnemonic device, My Dear Aunt Sally. And a few of you know that one, right? No? You don't know. A few of you know My Dear Aunt Sally. That's the order to properly solve a math problem. If you have an equation, you multiply first, then you divide, then you add, then you subtract. If you don't have parentheses, that's the order you do things to get the right answer. It can be very important to get the order of things correct. Now, when you feel like the disciples felt in today's gospel reading, when your resources are low and you're tired and you're hungry and you're in a desolate place, you need to remember, first of all, God can multiply. Can multiply what little you have and make it more than enough. John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way for Jesus' ministry, had just been beheaded. And maybe Jesus would be next. And you know that the disciples and Jesus wanted to get away from all of that. In Matthew, just before the story, it says, now when Jesus heard this, heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. You know, when his friend Lazarus died, that's when Jesus wept. Now, John the Baptist was his cousin and the forerunner to his ministry. When he was beheaded, he certainly wanted to be alone to regroup. What a monumental task to change the hearts and the minds of a world that would do such a malignant thing. What kind of world is this? The disciples were certainly worn and weary. They sought to be alone with Jesus and rest away from the crowds for peace and for safety from people like Herod. They were tired. And we've all been there, that kind of tired. Too tired to move, too tired to cry. I call that sleeping on the sofa tired because you're too tired to make it all the way to the bedroom. That tired. But it wasn't to be. You see, the crowd followed them. They came and they came, and Jesus had compassion on them in spite of his grief for John and his desire to be apart and alone and rest for a while. I guess that's what compassion is, really. Feeling with others so that their hurts become your hurts. Their needs become your needs. He spoke words of grace and forgiveness and truth to feed their souls. And he had pity on this teeming throng. And he healed and he comforted them. And he fed them. The world operates, and too often we as individuals and as church congregations operate on taking care of me and mine. Now you have to see that Jesus' life is the very opposite. It's 180 degrees opposite from me and mine. His compass was set to compassion. Even when he was tired. Even when it cost his life. Yours and mine is often set to just us. Jesus did more than preach and feed the souls of the crowd. He did meet their physical needs. Jack and Carrie and Glenn and our youth spent last week denying themselves sleep and safety and comfort and air conditioning to help folks living in the need of just ramshackle homes and the need of somebody to give them hope. And they gave it through the Salkehatchee program. New roofs, new floors, new insulation and wiring and foundation work, all done in Jesus' name. And a few of them, I know, because I've been there, probably thought, I want to come home. I can't do this. This is a mistake. I shouldn't be here. I know there is a great need, but I do not have what it takes to be here. When you think you're running on empty, and when you think, send them away, we don't have enough money, or we don't have enough time, or we don't have the resources to help them, send them away, then you have forgotten the my dear Aunt Sally. First, you give whatever little you do have to God, and God will multiply it. After preaching and teaching and healing among the uninvited crowd, night drew near and the disciples began to notice the faint growl of 5,000 bellies. I think I hear a few bellies right here. It was probably Judas, the treasurer, watching those drachmas who said, "Now, Jesus, this is enough, okay? It's a lonely place. We're out in the sticks and we were going to get away from everything. And they followed us. We did not ask them to follow us. It's getting late, you know. Let's send them away into the villages and let them buy their own food." What am I? My brother's keeper? And Peter, the head of the board of stewards, said, "Jesus, we need to address the food situation before these folks think that we are going to feed them." But all Jesus said is, "They don't have to go away. You give them something to eat. You feed them." And I'm sure Peter said, "I knew he was going to say that." And then he pointed out to Jesus, the sum total of all that we have is this little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's it. And Peter meant for that to end the whole discussion. But Jesus took that little bit and he multiplied it. He said, "Bring it here to me." Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, can change things and multiply even the smallest gift when it is given with the tiniest bit of faith and trust. We cannot stop God from showing grace to this hungry and often evil world of ours. We put His Son on a cross, an instrument of death and shame, and God turns it into a symbol of redemption and forgiving love. We mock Him with a ring of thorns, and He wears it as a crown. We nail Him there, and He forgives even those who hammered in the nails. We give Him 5 loaves and 2 fish, and with it He will feed 5,000. God multiplies even the smallest gift when we give it with faith and trust. God certainly can work things together for the good, but you need to give God something to work with. Even though your resources may be pitifully small, still Jesus says you feed them, you help them, you clothe them, you house them, you comfort them, you share the good news with them. Take what little you have and give it over with a little faith, and God will multiply it. There's a true story about a 13-year-old boy who once read about the mission work of Dr. Albert Schweitzer in Africa. He wanted to help, but he only had enough money to buy one bottle of aspirin. So he wrote a letter to the Air Force. He knew they had airplanes. And said, would you please drop this bottle of aspirin over Dr. Schweitzer's medical clinic in Africa? Well, that story got out on the radio back then. And everybody else joined in. They thought that was a wonderful idea. And eventually, that little boy was flown to Schweitzer's hospital along with 4.5 tons of medical supplies, worth at that time $400,000, all freely given. When Dr. Schweitzer heard the story, he said, I never thought one little child could do so much. Well, you see in the story here, one child's lunch fed 5,000. And that is the point more than the miracle. Take what little you have, give it over to God, and God will multiply it and make it enough. Too often we give God roadblock after roadblock. We say, God, I am doing all I can. I've come to meetings. I come to church worship mostly. I come to Sunday school. I come to choir. I do a study once in a while. I fellowship at breakfast and occasionally come to Wednesday night. That's all I can do. If you're going to do more through the Disciples of Main Street UMC, you're going to have to find somebody else to do it. I'm doing all I can. My time, my family. I'm tired. I know some people out there need the basics of life, and they hunger for the words of life eternal, but they're just going to have to find it for themselves. My schedule, my checkbook, my volunteer time, they're all maxed out. Send them away. Lord, don't I get a vacation from discipleship? Tell the crowds to go away. Now, I do not want to say that we don't all deserve a vacation from time to time. We do need time to recharge, and I'm going to take about a week sometime soon, and I'm not going to apologize for it. But we are disciples, even when the task seems impossible. We are disciples even when we are tired, and even when we're down to 5 loaves and 2 fish. Remember, the definition of enough, of giving God enough, has always been all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and all your strength. Not more than you have, but all that you have. And remember, God can multiply small gifts, small mustard seed faith that you do have. Don't dwell on what you lack. Even God can't multiply by zero. Just remember what little you do have and trust God for the rest. I remember an incident that I've probably shared before, but it's an incident when I forgot everything I have just told you. An incident when I was administering as an associate minister in Charleston, the Indigent Fund, and one day I had my schedule in my pocket, and I was headed out the door, and along came an interruption. She was a downcast-looking, impoverished lady. She shuffled up the sidewalk and she was looking down literally and she was looking down emotionally. And I thought to myself, oh boy, I've got ministry to do and here is this stranger coming to distract me. I wondered what she wanted and how long her story would take, and I wished that she would go away. Like Jesus' disciples, I was thinking too small and thinking only what I could offer. And I was bothered by the interruption. I'm not proud of myself, but like the disciples with 5 loaves and 2 fish and an uninvited crowd, I said, what do they want? What can I do? Why don't they go away? The end of that story is that lady did not want a handout. She did not want food or gas or money or clothes or even a dime from the church. She wanted prayer. She just wanted prayer. She wanted only prayer and to know that she was not alone in the world because she was facing surgery the next day. She wanted the kind of hope that God offers through the church. The world is full of starving sheep, and not all of them are starving for food. Some only need to know that somebody cares and to be reminded of the eternal hope we have in Christ. That hope cost God a great deal, but it cost us nothing to share. We shouldn't be stingy. As men and women and as a congregation, remember, we're not limited to our budget or our training or our energy level or our skills. We have the very Holy Spirit of God available and within us to multiply our very small gifts and our very small faith to meet the huge needs around us in Jesus' name. If we believe what we say we do, if there is salvation in Jesus Christ in this life and the next, then we should not be shy about offering His love and His hope and His salvation to those we meet. It's not just the minister's job to speak of such things. Sometimes we're scared. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we're a little bit soul hungry ourselves. But you are not limited to just what you have to share. Remember, when you offer up even mustard seed tiny faith and trust in God, God will multiply that offer. Some people out there just need the tiniest reason to hope. You can give them that. You can give them that. Share your faith, your time, your talents, your treasure, your compassion. Give these up to God and see how Jesus' ministry is multiplied among the starving souls and starving bellies of the world. I'm going to close with, and I've never done this before, a Garfield story. Now, some of you are Garfield fans. In one of his cartoons, he was shown resting, droopy-eyed in bed, and he was thinking about, just philosophizing a bit, and he said, "One of my pet peeves is people who never finish what they start." That's what he said. That was a pet peeve of his. And then he cracks a knowing smile and he says, "I happen to not be one of those people. My philosophy is never start anything." We were all reminded of our membership vows, our vows to God and to each other and to the world at the baptism of Ryan James Stone. We have all started something with God already, and it connects us to God and to each other. This scripture reminds us that we are to live like it. When our resources are not up to it, God multiplies. Try it and see. Amen. Please stand. We'll ask the Stone family to stand with me as we exit today. Now receive this blessing. Be blessed in the knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness we have through the Son, Jesus Christ. and the presence of God in our lives and our hearts, even in this moment, through the Holy Spirit, to comfort, to guide, to strengthen. In Jesus' name, we are blessed. Be a blessing. Amen.